go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV podcast, where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Chris, how's it going?
It's gone, you know. Long day. Sunday, so football always makes things better, but, you know, long day.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I took a good nap today, so I'm nice and refreshed here in the evening, so probably be up until like 2 or 3 in the morning because I screwed myself with a late afternoon nap.
Sucks for you.
That's how it tends to go.
Yeah, but aren't you up by that time usually anyways?
Not always. I mean, sometimes I'll get up and work on some things in the middle of the night, but not the last couple weeks, I'll say. I've been busy with work, so I've been sleeping as much as possible.
Oh, I thought you liked to trade currencies. So you like to get up for 2 a.m. for the London market to open.
I usually do that, you know, me being an accountant, we're busy the first week of the month. So I usually do it the other weeks of the month. So I haven't I haven't done it because we're in our busy time of the month. And with it being an end of quarter, it's super busy. So yes, to answer your question, sometimes I do get up at 2, even though I shifted it a little more to like 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning. And sometimes I just stay up and then I'll go to bed early. But yeah, with it being my busy time, I tried that in the off time and it makes me really sluggish. And there was no way in hell I would get through my 60-hour week with work and then still get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's pretty rough sleep schedule wise getting up, because you got to get up relatively early already for your job. And to be able to get up at 2 a.m. or kind of interrupt your sleep in the middle of the night and try to go back to sleep, that seems like be pretty rough on you.
It wasn't too bad. So that's why I switched to the 4 a.m. And then what I'll do is I'll work until like 11 and then take a 20-minute or 30-minute cat nap, then eat lunch, and then clock back in and go back to work. And that usually gets me through the rest of the day. As long as I can be asleep by, you know, 9 o'clock, I'm all good. If I'm up until midnight, like I am most nights, I'm shit out of luck.
Yeah, well, at least you're not going to school at the same time. I mean, then you'd be really fucked.
Oh, yeah. Took a semester off, so now I'm like, you have some time to work on some stuff and dedicate more hours elsewhere. But it is what it is.
Well, luckily we'll be getting some time off soon, now that we're wrapping up Altered Carbon.
Yeah, we're going to give ourselves a nice little week off. I know a lot of podcasts do seasons, so I don't know how they work. I'm sure it's different every podcast, but they'll record like, oh, we're season 1 episode 30, so you know, maybe they record 9 months out of the year and then take 3 months off and then get back into it. But you know, we're the grinders who apparently like to do it all year long.
I guess it just depends on whatever the podcast is about. It would differ per podcast, because I mean, you can literally do a podcast nowadays about anything and people will listen.
Yeah, as long as it's good, which, you know, ours is good enough to have 5 listeners, so that's something.
Yeah, 5 more than most people.
Yeah, 500 more or less than other people. It's not a competition.
Yeah, no, I guess not. All right, well, what do we got in store for this finale of Altered Carbon?
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm gonna go do it!
So this finale, we are covering the last 2 episodes of Season 2, which just so happened to be the last 2 episodes of Altered Carbon, which we'll get into it later after seeing the finale of... I was even more mad they canceled season 3, but so yeah, we're covering episode 7, episode 8 of season 2, Altered Carbon.
Yeah. Oh man, I agree with that ending. I mean, I just they set it up so well for. I mean, they set it up so well to where they could make a season three, but you could also see that, you know, it could end on this season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk about that more at the end of the show. Definitely have some gripes, but some we'll get there. Season seven, episode seven. It starts off interesting because you find out that the gang being just Kovacs One, Falconer, and Trep, they left Kovacs Two just hanging out in the Hellfire. They left him for dead. They thought that it was going to kill him. So they're like, all right, we're out of here. We don't have to worry about this mofo anymore. Nope, not the case.
Well, maybe they just didn't know what side he was on. Maybe they knew he was alive, but didn't know if he was with them or didn't know if they want him with them. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, because it seemed like he was churning from the dark side to the light side. I know that's not the official Altered Carbon stance, but, you know, the way I work, I'm a super Star Wars nerd, so that's how my mind works.
Kind of how it seemed like, too.
Yeah, so they were on the verge of churning him because there was a lot of conversation where he was helping out. Yeah. Yeah, for real. Lots of Star Wars. I make a lot of Star Wars metaphors and references. So if you haven't caught on the last 24 episodes, I don't know what happened, but you might have missed them or not listened to the prior 24 episodes.
Both of which is probable.
Probable. Possible. It was funny. There's the scene after, yeah, it was early in this the seventh episode, where Bo is taking care of Dig, like, you know, they're two humans, which they look human, but we know they're not. And he brings her a bowl of chicken soup, but it's like, it was the grossest, most disgusting. It was like literal chicken in water situation, or like chicken bones in water, or something like that. It was weird, and he mentioned it as, you know, it's like, it's what humans do when people are sick. They take care of them with chicken soup. And if you look in the bowl, it's the most disgusting thing ever. It's a good thing they're AIs.
I mean, I didn't look in the bowl, so I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I knew he got a chicken noodle soup, which I thought was weird in itself because, you know, they're AIs. They don't really need any of it. And I wasn't entirely sure why she was so depressed because, again, no, hey, last week on Altered Carbon, so I completely forgot.
Well, yeah, to refresh your memory, she was felt responsible for letting down Kovacs and allowing Kovacs 2 and the Protectorate, or the SeaTac, whoever they are, what do they call them? The Wedge, track them down and find them. So she was kind of beating herself up over that. And then plus, I guess whenever Kovacs 2 activated her, I guess, base programming or whatever, it really messed her up a little bit. I guess it kind of messes with AI psychologically, or whatever AI equivalent to psychologically is, their coding.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know, because, I mean, we don't really have much reference to AIs that we can make.
No, not like we have many real ones in today's world. Yeah. It's weird, though. It's weird seeing a show. Huh?
iRobot, that was AI based, and we're getting near that time. I think we're off by a couple of years still, but
iRobot was more droids, and then you had one who kind of was breaking the barrier.
Skynet,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't really have many references to.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the thing nowadays is, you know, AI would be evil and try to take over the world,
Here's one then. Maybe the Doctor from Star Trek Voyager, the hologram. That would be a good one because he actually had similar issues to where his program started to degrade, and I guess that would be comparable program. The coding maybe would degrade, and that's what's going on with them. I don't know. I think that one would be bad.
Could be.
I don't even know where we're going with it. Please continue wherever you were going with this.
I mean, it was weird because I was just saying it was weird because it seems like a lot of takes now. Like, there's a new show out on one of the networks where AI is out to get everyone, and it's in the web, and it's taking over people's cars and killing people and doing all this fun stuff, causing accidents and crap like that. So, I mean, that seems to be the new outlook on AI, how it's evil and, you know, it's man's going to create an AI and then AI is going to destroy man.
Well, it's funny because, I mean,
like the Orville reference from their second season. I know we haven't covered it, but those of you who've seen it, there's you find out something similar with one of the species, or no, they're not a species, whatever, one of the beings within that Orville universe.
Really? I mean, maybe I need to rewatch Orville because I don't remember that episode. Then again, it's been a while.
It's a part of the 2-part season 2 finale.
Oh, I don't remember the finale.
Ooh,
again, it's been a while.
We'll have to watch. We'll watch. We'll cover it sometime on this. Maybe around the time season 3 comes out, but we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually.
Anyways, that's off.
We still need to cover Discovery.
Yeah, it's on our sci-fi topic, but tangenting from the show, so we'll tangent right back on.
Yeah.
This episode kind of answers a lot of the questions. It's really the, hey, we spent the last 6 episodes building everything. Here's 90% of the answers. But you definitely get 100% of the answers in these last 2 episodes. So if I confuse the episodes, my bad.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, one of the questions that I think we got answered was what the weapon was, and that was that orbital defense system, and that's what everybody was afraid, or the colonel was afraid Falconer had, which kind of killed pretty much everybody.
I called it.
Why didn't it kill the other Kovach? Kovach 2?
Well, that probably was while Falconer was in control. She was in control enough not to kill herself and Kovach or Trep, because Trep was with them too.
That's so true. If she had the semblance of control to kill all of her enemies and leave her friends, why would they abandon him then?
Because he's kind of a frenemy right now. And so I think her priority was to eliminate all of the Protectorate threat, and then they got up and skedaddled. They probably shot a beam at him too, but you know, he didn't seem like he took much damage. Or maybe he did, and he was just able to heal before the episode started.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go with she missed, or it didn't hit him, or maybe it got in near proximity and he had got caught near the shockwave or something. I don't know. Maybe there's an explosion.
Maybe, you know, there was a protectorate close by and he was just close enough to get some collateral damage without being in the initial line of fire.
Right. I don't know. I don't remember how the last episode before that ended, so.
Well, the last episode was they were in the stronghold. And then they met the Kemp, the fake leader, and found out he's working for the governor. So they kind of arrest him. And then as they're making their way out of their stronghold into the woods, they get surrounded by Protectorate. And then they hide behind a rock in a gunfight. And then Falconer loses her shit and starts raining angel fire down from the orbitals, destroying everyone and burning the forest.
Yeah, but wasn't he with them?
Yeah, that's why, you know, it doesn't, you're left to assume or guess. There's no clear answer. They obviously left him there because they didn't want to bring him along. So somewhere between episodes, did they, you know, did she bring angel fire down on him? Maybe enough to immobilize him, but not kill him. Who knows?
I don't know. Well, never know, actually.
Unless you read the books. I don't remember there being a good explanation in between the two episodes. I mean, they just kind of left him there and they asked how he survived and they kind of explained it with, well, all the upgrades to the sleeve kind of kept him alive.
Huh.
So maybe they killed everyone else.
But They definitely kill.
Man, you're missing a lot
of
parts.
They fry everybody else.
Oh yeah. Roast them like marshmallows.
I know. I mean, I think I got most of it. There's certain details of it that I just don't remember. There's a lot of little things that, you know, I'm not going to remember every conversational piece. So you miss quite a bit in your first go around for a show.
But yeah.
Rewatch it a couple times, you'll pick them all up.
That's true. And maybe I definitely picked up more the second time watching it and remembered more, but.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. There is a lot of details. I feel like I really had to pay attention. I really had to pause and rewind and make sure I caught things right. And I mean, that's how I caught a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and I think part of our conversation points from last week helped too. Cause I mean, there were things that I remember to look out for. Like one, the governor, what kind of direction that we were going to go in with the governor. Why is she going to be our main antagonist? You know, how are they going to play that storyline? So I was looking for a bit more storyline details that we talked about last episode than a bit more of the nuances of it, or the, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get it. I get you. Kind of moving along in this episode 7. I mean, so Trep ends up spinning up her brother in VR and kind of discovering that he and a couple other of the the Questioners, whatever they call Falconer's group of followers, that they were exploring in the stronghold, and then they ended up discovering Falconer's body and awaking her, and in the meantime ended up disturbing the Song Spire Tree, or the Spire Song, no, I think it's Song Spire Tree, and were infected and lost their shit.
Yeah, they did. And then they also infected her while she was coming out of the container, but she managed to control it. Apparently the infection wasn't necessarily an infection. It was what do they call it? An elder? Yeah, it was an elder, right? They were the ones who were on the planet for, that's who she's been fighting in her mind in the previous episodes that we've kind of been seeing.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily how they explained it, but yeah, there was an elder that invaded her DHF, and that's what was happening. That's why they were saying that should be impossible, because the elder should have, you can't have two minds within one stack. And then she was like, well, that's probably why she's lost all her memories and all this fun stuff, because she's been fighting to try to keep control and not let the elder destroy her stack. And I guess being the leader of the envoys has trained her well in discipline.
Yeah, I mean, that helps out. And then, but I think that's part of the reason why when she does go full psycho and starts killing a lot of the Mets and a lot of the people using that, it almost looked like Tony Stark blood poisoning. I don't know quite how to describe it. But maybe that's supposedly what the elders were doing, was infecting them with that same thing that killed Trep's brother, that infected their stacks, and that, that we've been seeing that red, because the stacks have that blue color, but they've been infected with that. I guess the elders are red. That's why they're able to be absorbed in the same DHS or occupy that same space.
I've had to think about it like it's a virus, and like a computer virus, so the elders kind of go in and
then I think this is where Star Trek comes in handy, because I'm thinking of it like Data, to where Data has his own memory mindset within a set, computer boundary, and then the one episode where he meets his in his mind grandpa, the guy who taught Dr. Sung everything he taught, he taught him everything he knew, and he tries to transfer his mind into Data's memory core, and the two memories or the two personalities within it are battling over supremacy, and one begins to dominate the other and pushes the other out. That's what I imagine. And the elder's just so much more powerful that they can, control the stack, or gain control of the stack and flush out the other memories out. I won't or another good example would
just
be
just destroy them.
I guess another good example would be Ultron with Jarvis flushing him out of the system. Same with God damn it, Vision. When Jarvis became Vision and how they were able to flush him out of the net, kind of the two personalities battling within the cyber matrix. That's kind of what I imagine.
Yeah, I guess that makes some sense. It's just...
But I guess it's easier to imagine that when you're high.
Like I said, I just thought of it as a simple computer virus that went in and corrupted the DHF, and now the person's gone.
Oh, I mean, it could be that too.
So that's how I took it. You took it your way. I took it my way.
Difference between a sober mind and a stoned mind.
Yeah, for real.
It's more entertaining, though.
Well,
at least I think so. But anyways. So,
yeah, so I was going to say this after the events of episode 6, you know, Falconer's, she's in grave condition. I guess her raining down all that angel fire has kind of led to the elder that's within her stack, and it ended up it's destroying her sleeve. So I don't know how they got here, and it seemed like they pulled something out of their ass and flung it against the wall to see if it stuck. And I guess it stuck because
I got it. Like, because it's kind of where going into what I was saying, they tried to set up a firewall because the elder personality was taking control of Falcon's personality within the stack or memories, and they were trying to create a firewall to prevent the spread and use that, what do they call it, Unimatrix, or virtual reality, the construct. That's what,
yeah, they,
the
yeah.
virtual construct, something like that. They used that construct to kind of entrap the creature and pretty much flush it out, and it went from Falconer, and it ended up going to another body, which I believe was the Colonel.
Yeah,
so
it was.
It ended up taking over the Colonel, because the Colonel and Kovac infiltrated that virtual reality. But yep. Kovac got out, and the Colonel did not.
Well, yeah, because they didn't expect
anyone else
to be there. Well, yeah, you got that part. Well, they didn't expect anyone else in there. They, as in Kovac's and the team, because when Dig built this construct, it was just supposed to download
just the elder.
Falconer's DHF. It was supposed to download hers, but it wasn't going to bring her into HR. Their Kovacs was being used as a distraction, which at the time they didn't know it was an elder. They were just distracting whatever being so they could distinguish the two different DHFs and mine.
So I guess they saw it as an infection at the time, but we found out while he was in the matrix that they were an elder, and that's what was going on.
No, they didn't think it was an infection. They thought it was two people. So for example, they essentially thought that there was two DHFs within one stack. So it would be like Falconer and Kovacs being combined and put into one stack. So that's why they were like, well, we can go in and build this construct, blah, 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 put a firewall up against it or up in it. After we separate the two DHFs, put Falconer back in their own DHF, and then trap whoever it was in the firewall.
Hmm.
That was their thinking behind it. And then, lo and behold, when Kovacs 2 ran into Dig in episode, I think it's either early in 6 or sometime in 5. He ended up putting a tracker in her coding, so they were able to track. That's how Kovacs 2 and the Colonel were able to find out that she was building a construct and sneak into the construct, and like you said, eventually leading to the Colonel taking over, or the Elder taking over his stack.
Right. So, I mean, it was interesting. So we kind of start to see the direction of who the real antagonist is going to be. Because I know they did the same thing in season 1. They really didn't reveal who the true antagonist was until like the last three to the you know, pretty much the last three episodes. Because that's when we really start to figure out that, hey, Ray's back.
Yeah.
And then it turns out she's the one who's kind of manipulating everything. Oh, wait, she's a real bad guy. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Falconer, yeah. you know, we knew that she was kind of, you know, batshit crazy, but we didn't know why, and we didn't really know that that was going to be the main antagonist of the storyline.
Well, I was telling you last episode, and because I've seen this, I was kind of hinting at it when I was telling you that it seemed like Falconer had like multiple personalities.
Right. I don't remember what my response was.
Your response? Well, I pulled out the Punisher analogy. You're like, I don't remember that character in the Punisher. Never mind. We won't go there. I was hinting at, you know, there was two people within her one stack.
Oh, okay.
Which you didn't catch.
No, I think maybe it wasn't a good example. You're trying to pull an example from something that I don't remember seeing. So I think
you saw it. You just got a shit memory, Poe.
Well, I mean, I think I've only seen season two of Punisher once, and that was when it came out. Probably here, 2 to 3 years ago.
Same here. Yeah.
But I smoked a lot more weed between then than you have. Yeah. So.
Short-term memory loss.
It really does affect it. But there are things that you'll never forget. It's the weirdest thing. It really is.
I was going to say, before we move on to 8, there are some fascinating things we learn about elders in episode 7. For example, it was being explained because Trep's wife and her son were arrested because the governor needed an archaeologue to kind of determine what a symbol was and kind of get them pointed into the right direction of what the heck's going on with Falconer and how she can control the orbitals. So they arrest her, and she explains that the elders kind of had a telepathic ability and that they were very militaristic, and that's what kind of why they built the orbitals as a protection defense system.
Yeah, was it this episode or was it the next one that we figured out what actually happened to the elders? I can't remember. I think it was the next one.
It was one of them. I think it's the next one.
Well, it was definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the. It's definitely in one of these episodes. I think they explained it in the finale 8.
Okay. Yeah, I think they do. So.
Oh no! It's this one, because. They were explaining, she was explaining to Kovach, I think, that the founders came in and Conrad Harlan didn't want to lose his charter because there are living beings on the planet, so he has the elders killed so he could
killed, he pulls a gun out and starts shooting them all.
Yeah, and so this is the rest
and
of
I
the
guess
founders.
they're attached to pretty much these trees, and that's why I think, you know, she brought up the telepathic ability, was that's kind of how they communicated, was through the tree. Very Avatar like. But
I was trying to find a reference for that. I couldn't think of one.
Yeah, I think Avatar would probably be the best one. Movie, not the show.
Yes.
Oh man, what was another one that I had a train of thought but I lost it.
Because you got high.
Oh yeah,
because you got high. Because
the Yakuza boss, or the guy that Kovach, him. So
if
the
I'm
guy
that
that
right.
I don't know if you are, but you were close. It's better than that guy.
true.
Yeah, I noticed that he was the only one who didn't kill the elders, and she showed him when she was being controlled by the elder and was killed everybody in the room, she showed him the most mercy, and he was the only one who didn't attack and kill him. He was just there. So I noticed that it wasn't Falconer who was being merciful, it was the elder.
Yeah. Elder still wanted him to die, but he at least granted him the phone call to Takeshi Kovacs.
Right.
So, yeah, right. You got a point. But let's move on to 8. Let's talk about this finale. Some shit goes down.
Ooh, hang on. Before we go to 8, that I got to give credit where credit's due. That fight scene before the where was I going with this? You know what? Just cut that
Come
out.
Come on. Get there faster, Poe.
The
get there faster, Poe. Come on, Poe. You can do it, Poe.
Trap. Yes. Okay. So Trap, while Kovach is in VR in this construct, steals the sleeve of Kovach that he has to go rescue her wife and kid. And I got to give credit where credit due. That fight scene was pretty damn. I mean, it did have that John Wick feel.
Oh yeah,
and
it was very
noticed
John Wick-y.
Yeah, I noticed it because it didn't have the constant camera angles. They stayed focused on the actor. It was the actor doing it, and it was really him actually performing it pretty well and pretty realistically. I mean, he did a great job, and it was very well done. I think they were probably trying to go for that too because they know that John Wick's a badass.
Yeah, possibly. But I agree 100%. I even jotted down and made the note, hey, this feels very John Wick-esque, and I'm glad I'm not the only one to think so.
Yeah, no, I was watching that. I'm like, damn, now I feel like watching John Wick. So I watched John Wick after watching it.
The way he would roll and then go and shoot and then turn around and, you know, dodge some things, hand-to-hand combat, turn around and then shoot.
And then all were sleeve shots, which is damn near a headshot. So very John Wick.
Stack shots.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Not sleeve shots. Well, technically, they are still sleeve
shots.
Which is
going to be hard, because that's like...
Yeah, that's even a smaller region. Especially, even then, the stack's like a gold coin, or no, like a silver dollar, maybe?
Yeah, maybe a little bigger, but it's still not very big. It runs kind of parallel to the ground. You're trying to hit, essentially... If you were to stack like three or four quarters on top of each other, you got to hit that stack of quarters.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like,
and that's not even Kovach, that's Trap.
Yeah.
Now,
but how much of that is sleeve?
The sleeve, or I was thinking the same question.
Is how much of it is her trading? How much of it is the sleeve kicking in and doing the work? Because we know from before that it has all kinds of survival instincts. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, fuck, it was able to hold on with its two knuckles of its fingers off a cliff for what, 10 hours while the dude was passed out and had a dislocated shoulder. So I mean, they can do some pretty damn impressive shit.
Yeah, could it turn someone like me into a badass fighter? I would like to know.
Yeah, well, that's what it would
maybe
take.
it could mm-hmm. Or a badass shot. I mean, I'm already a pretty good shot, but
so it only take to, a
I can upgrade a badass.
Yeah, right. It would take the sleeve to upgrade you to badass. That's as close as you're ever going to get.
I know. Well, with the way things are, you can't exactly go out and practice all the time. So
that's fair.
Might as well just upgrade my sleeve.
It's too expensive to replace ammo these days. Are you kidding?
I know. It's crazy. So, but we're not going to go down there. That's a whole other rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 8, the finale. Interesting, because... Well, we'll start off saying this. First thing they know, the Elder gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Protectorate knocks on their door with Kovach number 2. They get in, Kovach kills everyone. And that's when he let them know that, hey, Colonel was still in. We were able to infiltrate your construct and the Colonel was still in there. So that's probably where the Elder went.
Yeah, and then he kind of, I mean, I guess he did betray the Protectorate and... They planning so guess... it, or because we know how?
No, that was not planned. They were all surprised.
Were they okay? Because I mean, we know how the ending goes, and you know what happens with him. I didn't know if we wanted to get to that part yet, but
not yet. We'll get there in a minute.
So that's why I'm like, did they know, or was it?
No, because they were ready for a fight. They barricaded themselves. They were ready for a fight. Next thing you know, Firefight breaks loose, but it's Kovach killing his own team.
Yeah.
So they had no idea.
Well.
And then after that is probably where we find your favorite part of the series.
Oh, yeah. We finally see boobs. Took till the final episode, and at least it was the governor's, though. She's hot. Now, wait. Who's the actress that plays the governor? Kind of reminds me of the chick who played Elektra. Electra Nachos on Daredevil?
No.
She kind of reminded me of her.
I mean, she may give those vibes, but definitely not the same actress.
Man, that's disappointing.
But yeah, yeah, that was the only time you really see any nudity in this. And
had to wait to the finale. And you barely saw it too.
Yeah.
I remember because I was I had the late night munchies. So I was watching and I'm like, wait, did I just miss boobs? So I had to pause it. I had to rewind it. And I'm like, oh, man. Barely saw anything. I'm sure Dad would be so disappointed when he gets to it. it's a noticeable change going from everywhere in every episode of season one to nowhere, and you barely see anything when they finally do give you something in the finale. So I mean, it's noticeable. You can't not notice it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. And yeah, we'll get to that a little later in this episode, because after we wrap on what happens in this finale, I do want to talk about the differences between seasons one and two and how we felt about them. So we'll get there. So after your favorite part, which you probably spent 20 minutes watching that 20-second scene.
You mean 5-second scene?
Just kidding. Yeah, it wasn't even that long.
No.
Honestly, I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did, because she had pretty much a full conversation that way and then went and put on a towel.
I think it was like a bathrobe. Of course she did.
A bathrobe, towel, whatever. Anyways, I mean, this episode, as for finales goes, it was just interesting. You finally find out, like, 4 episodes later, Trep finds out her dad's now dead and RD'd.
Yeah, which must be awkward for Kovach number 2.
Oh, you could see it on his face. It was great acting. You could see the distress. And, you know, Kovach 1 knew. I mean, he might not have. Yeah, he had to know that his counterpart did it, because
I think he was pretty sure. I don't think he knew 100%.
Well, that's what he said, something about you're not used to facing these kinds of consequences or something along those lines.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And that's when he just shot him a look. So you knew he kind of knew, but no one else knew that it was him.
Right.
If the listeners are following, very, very good job, because I'm not sure I was following what I just said. Kovach 2 was distraught because, you know, he knew he was the one that just reeled death Trep's dad. And, you know, obviously the two Kovachs know because of the conversation that it was exchanged, but it didn't seem like anyone else knew at the time. Just given on the demeanor, and Trep kind of finds out later in this episode that he was, I don't think they find out.
I don't think
it might have been.
I think she knew that he was. Well, no, I think he knew that he was there, but I don't know if they knew he pulled the trigger himself. I think the other Kovach did, but I don't know if he ever spilled the beans.
Yeah. And pulled the trigger is a bad reference, because he actually took like a pair of tongs, stuck them in the back of his neck, and then crushed the stack.
Yeah, it was almost like a needle nose pliers, almost.
Yeah, that's probably a better reference.
So, but hell of a way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of the scene is interesting, or the rest of this episode, because the gang minus Trep, when I say the gang, it's now both Kovaches and Falconer and the AIs. They go to the governor and they try to work out a peace deal, and they're like, let's give, you know, this elder wants to kill all the founders. Let's give him Conrad. Where is Conrad? He's obviously not in the, what do they call it? Yeah, the construct of the renouncers. So where is he? Let's give him up and maybe we can make peace.
Plot twist.
And then
he's dead.
Lo and behold, he's been dead because someone put he became, it sounded like a weak ruler and just too scared of the protectorate. So someone put a bullet through his stack.
Not someone, the governor. It was a coup d'etat. There was no change of government.
Oh, yeah, it was a coup.
Yeah, she overthrew her father and put a bullet in his stack and took power. That's why she seized total power. I mean, it literally was a coup d'etat.
It was a coup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, for bullet holes, on something that fragile, it just seemed too clean.
Yeah, it almost looked like shooting it through.
It almost looked like she drilled it. Like a drill bit, sorry. You know, took a drill and made a drill hole instead of a bullet going through it.
Well, then what? You think she killed him, pulled the stack out, and then just drilled it?
No, I'm just saying if someone actually shot the stack, I don't think the hole would be that clean. I think the stack would be obliterated.
Oh, it would definitely be obliterated. How do we know? We've shot quarters before. Completely quarters, you know, metal pieces that big, it'll completely shatter.
Maybe if it's a full metal jacket, but yeah. That's a whole nother story and experiment that I'll probably try sometime down the road. But yeah, you know, so this finale is just, it's interesting because they team up and surprise, surprise, the governor betrays them. And it was interesting.
After one of them killed him already. Which one of them killed him? Because that's why her naked, because one of them killed
him. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she got resold.
Well, in the fight scene of the last episode,
Trep did.
Trep, using Kovacs' sleeve, shot her in the hammy.
Right, so
quad,
she
whatever
thinks
the front part of the muscle was, and
yeah, and she didn't know that it was Trep because it was Kovacs' sleeve. So she probably assumed this was Trep after killing me. He's coming asking for my help.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised that she did it, given the fact that she was willing to kill her own father to take power.
Yeah, it was Trep's wife that put the bullet through her stack, though.
Oh yeah, but she wasn't looking.
No, it was from behind, execution style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but this, I mean, it's the last two episodes are filled with weird plans because it just seems like their hope was partially to make amends with it by offering up Conrad's destroyed stack. And then I don't know how they didn't see the governor betraying them and shooting the colonel. And then all hell breaking loose within that needle cast station. Or maybe they did. Maybe they did plan on it. Because episode 8 was just, it was so much information. He had so many weird plans. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Okay. Fight scene was awesome. That's always top notch. I don't think there's a fight scene to knock in this show.
No, there really wasn't.
Besides the one I knocked earlier in the series. But other than that, it felt like it was just weird plans, you know, because at one point Falconer confesses to Kovacs that her plan was to kill the colonel, let the elder repossess her stack, and then rain the angel file. Had one too many drinks. Rain the angel fire down on herself, destroying both elder and her.
Right. And then lo and behold, Kovacs won. Wasn't going to let that happen, and in the end, he ends up sacrificing himself.
Oh, yeah, it was great because, you know, it starts off as a, you know, 3-on-1, and then Governor ends up getting KO'd by the Colonel, and then it's a 2-on-1 fight, and then it becomes a 3-on-1 fight when Kovacs 2 leaves the firefight downstairs with the Protectorate and joins the fight upstairs. So I was like, okay, this is pretty dope. And then Kovacs won, Anthony Mackie's Kovacs, sacrifices himself, saving the day.
Right, because he blows out the stack of the colonel, and since he was right there, it infected his stack, and he managed to destroy himself and the stack. But yep. What was interesting was, you know, with the colonel, or not the colonel, the governor being killed, and Arding, she had total authority and power over the planet. And she, remember, she had declared martial law. So now this planet is leaderless with the last, I can't remember what it's called.
Come on, Poe. Earth the Poe.
Shut up. I keep thinking the last Oracle, but it's not the last Oracle. I don't know what the fuck.
Envoy.
Envoy. Thank you. After the last envoy is dead, and then it kind of deals with the
reboot. Reboot.
Yeah, I don't know where I was before this. I was way past that.
Where you were going was because after everything happens on the needlecast station, you know, the council kind of reconvenes. The Protectorate's coming in. They're establishing an interim government, which they want Kovacs 2 to kind of oversee for the time being until they get a new established government into place.
Right. And he's able to infiltrate that established government. which was the point that I was bringing to, or that I brought up earlier, to where did Falconer, you know, was she already working with him to infiltrate in the beginning? And now that, because she's working with him again now while he's infiltrating this government and the proxy government.
No, I think he proved his value when he went and re-recruited Trep to help them at the Needlecast station before that big fight takes out. I think that's kind of when he earns his trust, because she sends him there knowing that Trep's going to want to kill him because of what he did to her father. And he was able to talk her out of it and still get her to join anyways. So I think that's kind of when he earns her trust. And then it secures the trust when he comes up to finish the fight and they lose Kovacs 1.
Right. And then it's kind of a... But to bring up... I mean,
Go
ahead.
I was going to bring up Poe's an important part of this, because he decides he's going to have to reboot. So he initializes the program, which is faced by Lizzie from season one, thanks to Dig. And then ends up having to shut down in the middle of that fight and writes himself a sticky note with, I can't remember what Dig called it at the end of the episode, but it was kind of to remember the address of the hotel. And then it was kind of like a file location for a particular program.
Right. And then because it took Poe months to reboot after being shut down, because there was a whole separate DHF stored in the memory. And it turned up to be I don't know if we know for sure,
Assumption. It's a very good assumption. Well, okay, because she says it's one of her last lines is, what does she say? Better bring out the good whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where you're left to infer, hey, he ended up backing up and storing Kovacs in his memories before he rebooted. And then once he was able to clear all the dead and broken code and put himself back together and he reemerged, then he was able, you know, now he's able to essentially download Kovacs.
Right. I mean, and then that was
And that's when I got mad.
Yeah, I mean, because they set it up perfectly for season three. You know, they set it up to where Falconer was heading off planet. She was going to go take on the Protectorate. You know, we're going to see more about that. She got Kovacs 2 infiltrating, and he's kind of left the possibility open for that fling. And then you got this guy coming back. So you got obvious subplots. So, you know, love triangle while finally taking down the Protectorate and get more details. And then they canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, season three could have been awesome. Her reigniting rebellion, but what do they call it? The uprising. You know, and now he's on the inside, like you mentioned. And
you think they specifically called it the uprising so they could avoid saying the rebellion? Didn't seem too Star Wars ish.
Probably, possibly. I wouldn't doubt it.
Be tough, you know, cross competing with those. But then again, I guess it really didn't matter.
Yeah, I guess not. But just the things that where I got mad. I was like, they did set this up great for a season three, and now there's no season three to take place.
And then the way that they did that of the kind of the slow motion of his stack and then the reemerging of his stack, it almost looked like that scene from Age of Ultron, you know, with Jarvis looking at Jarvis's and that just kind of the way that they had it structured, you know, Jarvis's matrix and Ultron's matrix.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that brought me up earlier to where it kind of connected. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. So much potential, because now there's just so much potential for season three. You could have probably had two Kovacs, or maybe they just they put Kovacs into, they download his DHF into Kovacs with the original sleeve. I don't know. There are so many things they could have done.
Yeah, they could have probably re-uploaded it to another stack, put in a new sleeve, and bada boom, he's back.
Well, then they're double sleeved, and that's a capital crime.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, they're AIs; they don't have to tell anybody.
True, but still disappointed.
Yeah.
The only thing, I mean, they could always bring it back sometime down the road.
They could, they but want. I mean, I'd imagine they have a limited window because you don't want the actors to age too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Even if the actors age, they can put them in different sleeves and no harm, no foul.
Yeah, that's true. But then you would have to explain it. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be too difficult. But
yeah, that's an easy solution for having to deal with that problem.
Hmm.
So it is what it is. Heartbroken, disappointed that season 3 was canceled. But anyways, that's how season 2 ends, on a lovely semi-cliffhanger. But then again, it can also work as its own ending, which I guess it will for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris, seeing both seasons of Altered Carbon. Okay, first of all, let's get your thoughts on season 2 before we compare it to season 1. So what's your overall thoughts of season 2?
Season 2... I mean, the storyline is pretty good. I see they stuck with the same structure like we talked about earlier, of how they kind of try to have a reveal of who the antagonist is towards the end, and they want to have it more kind of storylines leading more sub-storylines, with eventually the main antagonist being revealed towards the end. It was, you know, they were consistent. The directing was really great. The action scenes were phenomenal. Again, like you said, for that one fight scene, it did seem a little rehearsed, but I mean, it was very, very well directed, very well choreographed, and the nudity, you know, bonus in season 1. There was not a lot there in season 2 that bugged me. I know you wanted just the input on season 2, but I'm going to kind of go straight into comparing it. You know, comparing season 1 to season 2, season 1, I like the actor. I think he did a little bit better in season 1. I don't remember the name of the actor in season 1 than
Joel Kinnaman.
I think Joel Kinnaman did a better job than, I can't remember either of the names.
Anthony Mackie.
I think Joel Kinnaman did a little bit better than Mackie when it comes to portraying the role. I don't know that. Who's the actor who plays the original Sleeve of Kovach? Do you know his name?
I think it's Will Lee.
Will Lee? He did a phenomenal job. I mean, I think in both seasons, he did a phenomenal job playing the role. And I think that, you know, given the fact that the acting, because one of the things with this was, you know, he was supposedly was the baseline actor for this character, you know, the personality, the traits, it's supposed to be from this original sleeve. So you're kind of have to compare the other sleeves personality wise, you know, for the actors, how they do when compared to him. You know what I mean? He's supposed to be that baseline assumption for comparing how they do. Did I lose you or?
No, I'm following.
Okay. So, and given that this is the guy that, you know, this is the actor's portrayal that we have to base it off of, I think season 1 was just that much better than season 2. He seemed a little bit more emotional in season 2. But then again, I guess it makes sense finding your long-lost love after 300 years. So, but, I mean, I thought they did a good job at having a character development that made sense from season 1 to season 2, being a real cold-hearted, I just want to die kind of to guy who has a bit of hope, who's about to give up hope, who ends up killing himself over a girl who, in his words, didn't want to live for him. Something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, there was a mushy-mushy scene where he's like, I love you. I just wish you loved me enough to stay alive, because she's always wanting to get herself killed.
Yeah, right.
Something like that. And I was like, oh, that's too mushy-mushy for me.
Well, I mean, all of her plans did revolve her, you know, getting killed.
Yeah, it did.
So, yeah.
But it was a mushy scene, so I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the whole season 2 was, you know, him finding her and all mushy mushy. You had to see it coming a bit.
I mean, yes, I did. Yeah, I knew still not going to stop me from going, oh, it's too mushy mushy, blah, threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Okay.
But I mean, I thought it was I mean, granted, I think they were both pretty even. I'm going to go what, season one, a 9.5, season two, an 8.5. And okay, the 1 point difference is the nudity. So they're pretty damn equal otherwise.
I don't disagree. The action was consistent through both seasons. Well, I'll start with my season two. Top notch. Netflix did a great job on season two with the story that they wanted to tell. Where I was disappointed was the departure from the cyberpunk type sci-fi subgenre to just a straight sci-fi show. There was nothing that told us. We knew it took place in the future. Yeah, these stacks are a thing. They didn't really establish many new things in this second season. So I was a little disappointed with that departure, and with that departure comes the lack of nudity, because I think cyberpunk is, I won't say big on nudity, but it's part of an underlying theme. I'm not a sci-fi expert, just a fan.
We're mostly fans of particular shows within sci-fi. We're just not an expert on everything sci-fi.
I'm not an expert in all the subgenres. I know cyberpunk is a type of subgenre. I know I did some research. Season one did pretty good at sticking to that subgenre because that's how the books are. And that season two was more, it departed from it a little more. Yeah, and that was a little bit disappointing. It's not to knock the actors. All of them in both seasons were good. The execution of the fight choreography was good, I think. Mm-hmm. I think everything about it, with the exception of the departure from season one to two from the cyberpunk subgenre, was
I think
was
good. They did that on purpose, though. You know, because like we said, yeah, it was hard to advertise for the show for the given the audiences that they had for season one because of all the nudity, and it was very open. They showed pretty much everything, and they were not, you know, they didn't hide anything in season one. Where, yeah, they put, maybe they wanted to spend more time on better effects, trying to get in a new audience, kind of keep the show going, to keep the show making money, you know, to make money off of it. So they went away from the books, and maybe the books still had all of that kind of stuff, and that's why they moved away from it.
Maybe. I know season one is, you know, related to the first book. I don't know how closely related season two is to the second book.
Oh yeah, you haven't gotten there yet. Do you have the second book?
No, I don't have the second book. I'll read it eventually. But
now, how far along are you on the first book?
Well, 2/3.
Oh, okay, so you're almost done.
Yeah.
How long is the book?
I think it's 400 pages.
Oh, okay. So it's not, I think, like, it's not too bad. Or it's not, yeah, I guess it's not too bad.
It's not long. It's not like,
it's not too, like, long, not too short. It's Lord of the Rings of books, long, you know.
Yeah. But anyways, back to what I was saying. But if I were to pick between the two actors, I don't know. They both had their pluses. They both had their downs. But I think because I like season one better, I might like Joel Kinnaman's version a little better. But that's not saying Mackie's wasn't as good. I just think season one's the better season and the more like season. So I would have to go with him, I would think. I don't know. They're both good. They're both. All three of the actors who played this character were good.
Now that I think about it, so, you know, when comparing season one and season two, I think we're forgetting that they do take place on two different planets that have two different, social cultures. Developments. Yeah, cultural development. And maybe because there was so much nudity in the first season was because they were on Earth in the United States in the slums, to where it was completely normal and custom. Or you were with super wealthy, rich people who do nothing but, you know, have sex and orgies. And I mean, I would imagine if you were young, rich, and had the money to get whatever sleep you want.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they have that stuff on Harlem's World, this planet it took place on.
Yeah, but I mean,
it was just more, it didn't fit to the story that the show and the showrunner wanted to tell.
Right. I mean, it could be.
And I think
but
that's why we see such a big difference. It's a different showrunner. It's different executive producers from season one to season two.
It could be, but that would be a plausible storyline explanation, that the reason that they did it was a reflection on man's development compared to other civilizations and the road that we're heading down. I mean, you could bullshit your way into that explanation.
Not to also mention, season one revolved around the super rich who like to go to whorehouses and fuck around because he's been married to his wife too long, and that's boring as shit.
Right.
So, you know, what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot more scenes with whorehouses and brothels and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like I said, plausible explanation.
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure there's an explanation in an article out there somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but then again, I haven't looked too hard for it yet either.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of like that. Me personally, when it comes to these sci-fi shows, I like the development, especially from Earth, because it's just interesting to see how they think that society's going to develop based off of where we are today. You know, what our problems are today. And that's one of the reasons why I love Star Trek, because, you know, it's always done such a great job at that. And I feel like sci-fi in general is kind of like that. You know, I've seen a couple other sci-fi shows. I think the most prominent would be Battlestar Galactica. The new one, I have seen the original one. It's just kind of hard to watch, but...
I haven't seen those yet.
Well,
I hear they're good. I just haven't gotten to them yet.
I think Battlestar Galactica is probably one of the few shows universally agreed that the sequel was better than the original. I think most people would agree that 9 out of 10 times on any other show or movie, they will say the exact opposite because it's usually true. But the new show was pretty damn great. I'll give them that.
Okay. Is there any last thoughts you have on Altered Carbon now that we are done with it?
I kind of want to recommend it.
Would you tell your friends?
Oh yeah, I definitely would. I feel like most of my friends, or the few that I have, this would be the kind of show that they would enjoy watching. Weirdly enough, I think the nudity would actually be the seller. And the even weirder part is most of my friends are girls, so, you know, I mean, they'll still be interested.
It is what
it
is.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. It's a good show, and I'm unfortunate we have to wrap it up and there's not a third season, but we are on to other things.
Yeah. It's always unfortunate when we have to wrap it up. All right. Well,
not if you don't want a kid or STDs.
That's fair.
Anyways.
Okay, out.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat it.
Punch it,
kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it, hot mate.
Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
So, what do we got in store for next week's episode? Or do we have a next week's episode?
Well, for our listeners who listen week to week, there will not be an episode next week. But the next episode is the week after that. And we are actually going to watch all of Star Trek Lower Decks and have a brief discussion on it before Mandalorian Season 2 comes out. So that's what we have in store. Go ahead, sit down. If you have CBS All Access, check out Lower Decks. If you can get through all 10 episodes, great. If not, come back, listen to us, talk about it. If we like it, hate it, can't stand it. Me saying from seeing the first, I think I've only seen the first 3 or 4 out of all 10.
I have a feeling
not the biggest fan of it so far, so it might be a...
I have a feeling that if I like it, it'll be a very short episode, and if I don't like it, I'll just go on a shit ton of tangents. I don't know why, I just have that feeling.
Well, if we don't like it, it'll probably be an episode of just bashing it.
Oh, probably. But we'll find out.
We'll see. Tune in next time to Deep Space Island. Like I said, if you're one of those listeners that listens every week, thank you. But there will not be an episode next week. We're just going to take some time, you know, have a little Mai Tai or have a drink or two and just
chill.
And give us time to watch these 10 episodes and get back to you on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess I'll do it for this week's episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us not next week, 2 weeks from now. Remember, 2 weeks from now.
For those who listen every week.
Yes. As we start our conversation and also finish our conversation on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes. And don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. I guess next week we'll bring back the Tacos and Trek. I know we kind of sprinkled it in since Picard, but yeah, we'll bring that back for next week. Also, check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast to stay up to date with our latest announcements.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about our show by leaving a review on Apple Podcast. These reviews really help us out, and they help us get better content out for you guys and get you guys a better listening experience.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's the idea.
We think it does. Anyways, I'm Scar Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve, and we'll sleeve you next time.
We'll sleeve you later.
Yeah, either one works.